Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. These verses capsulize key character traits that did not suddenly come to Christ at the end of his life or even during his ministry. And this evening I would like to discuss these attributes, but first I would like for us to think about where and when they came from. It began 33 years prior. The years when Jesus was learning who he was were extremely important later on in his ministry for the Lord. But the Gospels of Mark and John make absolutely no mention of his birth or his childhood. So why so much brevity about the Gospels that they didn't show or display anything about Christ's early childhood? Well, I believe that part of the reason is because that his early years were not the focal point of his ministry. Because dying and bringing salvation to all of mankind was. It seems as if God wanted to make a point that his adolescent life was a growing and a learning time period. Now, man speculates about these years because they know very little about them. So they just want to speculate and assume what they know about him, and then they assume that that's right. But in reality, we're given a very small amount. But that's all we need. Luke 2:52. "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." And besides this verse, all we have is of Jesus' account in the temple concerning the development from Christ the child to Christ the man. And during these years, Jesus had to learn what his mission and purpose was. And he did that by growing in wisdom, and it pleased God very much. He learned as a child to shun evil, and by learning that when he was young, it helped him when he was tempted later on. Preparation played a huge part in Christ maturing and growing into what God wanted him to become. Because throughout Jesus' childhood, the scripture says that God filled his spirit with wisdom. Because Jesus was not just given all of the answers. He had to find out who he truly was with God's help. Now, we're not told when God's whole revelation or how much was revealed to Jesus throughout the years. But Jesus had to formulate strong character traits around his faith so that he would be able to hold firm during his ministry. And Christ knew that he had a mission as early as the age of 12. Now, granted, he may not have known the entirety of it, that he would someday die on the cross, but he knew that he had to prepare his mind to accept the challenges that would soon come his way. Now, I would like to read the account of Jesus in the temple, and it's found in Luke, the second chapter, verses 41 through 51. "Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, They went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus showed very early signs of preparation because he visited the temple at the age of 12. And by the time he was 12, he had already developed a very strong understanding of the work that God wanted him to do. Because if he had not already had a strong understanding of it, he wouldn't have been able to carry on a conversation with the teachers of the law. Now, these men were the most learned men in all of Israel. And I'd ask today, how many of us, now he was only 12, how many of us could have even carried on an intelligent conversation with these men at this time? I dare say not very many. Now, how much have we grown spiritually over the last few years? And what are we preparing for? Our future here on earth or our spiritual future in heaven? And how much time, energy, and thought do we develop to earthly things versus spiritual things? Now, everything that we prepare for on earth is physical, and it will come and then quickly goes away. But whatever we prepare for spiritually, whether it be good or evil, will be taken into account on the day of judgment. And the real question is, what are we investing our time in right now? In Jesus' childhood, submission and humility played an enormous part in him growing up. These two attributes are very similar, and I believe that they complement each other very nicely, because you cannot have one without the other. Submission is putting ourselves below someone to do their service and not ours. It is bending our will because of love. Humility is having the appropriate view of ourself aligned with God and others. Submission is the action of humility, and humility brings out the desire to be submissive. Submission is the action of humility, and humility brings out the desire for us to be submissive. Philippians, the second chapter, verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." We live in a hypocritical society, because our society says that everyone is equal. No one is better than everyone else, than anyone else. But in reality, we live in a me society. And unfortunately, neither of those views work. Because the world cannot understand how you can get ahead when you put others ahead of yourself. God tells us to consider others better than yourselves. We're not supposed to think of ourselves better than everyone else, but instead we should be considering how we should serve others. The example of Jesus' humility in the temple ought to inspire us. Even though Jesus was beginning to realize who he truly was, he was the Son of God. But he was still submissive to his earthly parents' direction. which is so important. And when he told them, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" he thought that they understood more than they really did. Jesus was aware that his parents had been told who he truly was. And he thought it was obvious that I needed to be in my Father's house, worshiping my Father, learning more about him. But then after the scripture said that they did not understand what he was saying, then he must have come to a realization that he had to respect their limitations of understanding. So therefore, he was submissive to them. Luke 2:51 tells us, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart." Even though Jesus knew more about his mission and purpose than they did, he still knew that he had a lot to learn and that in their eyes, he was only a child. He was 12 years old. He was still in elementary school. If he would lived in our world, he should be playing out in recess. But no, he was mature and he knew that he still had a lot to learn and a lot could be taken from their direction. Luke 2:49, "And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?'" Now when I picture Jesus saying these words, I can just see him have an emphasis on the word must. And when I look this word up in the Greek, it said a necessity or a need for something. Jesus needed to be in his Father's house, learning his work. And it is something that we all need to have a desire for. And it must be a part of our lives. I would imagine that if Jesus slept in the temple, that he spent nonstop 3 days asking the teachers of the law questions and then listening to them, listening to their answers. Now, when someone has a passion for something, they focus on it. Passion and focus are in positive correlation with each other. The more passion you have, the more you're going to focus on it. When we think of passion today, words that might come to mind would be a strong enthusiasm or strong emotion for something. And to find out what we are passionate about, we must first look at what we are focused on and then at what that focus comes from. When you focus, you put things away that might hinder you from what you need to learn or know. And focus is the arrow from desire to passion. So to find out what we are passionate about, we must first look at what we desire. Desire plus focus equals passion. Now, young people are usually more passionate about life than those that are older, because they have more energy, but they also have less experience. So emotions tend to accelerate. That passion needs to be focused and developed not only by the individual, but also be corrected by those who are older. And how often do we see young people spending the bulk of their youth developing talents that will not produce anything for the Lord? How much money and time is spent by parents in helping them chase after passions that do not lead to eternal salvation? When Joseph and Mary, after the temple incident, they discovered how passionate Jesus was about his work, I'm sure that they began to start looking at him in a different light about who he was and what he needed to become. preparation, humility, and passion. And the interesting tie that all of these three words have in common is that none of them are biologically given to us. None of them, God just automatically opens up our hearts and just gives them to us. They all must be learned and then cultivated for them to mature and grow. Jesus learned these three traits at an early age so that he could be successful later on in his ministry. Let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying to his Father, requesting that the crucifixion be taken away from him. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Preparation. Jesus had been preparing his whole life for this moment. And what did he do? He went into a garden and prayed so that he could have strength from his Father to overcome the situation that was about to confront him. Humility. He said while he was praying, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus submitted not only to his Father, but also in letting him decide the ultimate choice and whether he was going to be crucified or not. Passion. And being in anguish, it said, he prayed more earnestly and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. We cannot even begin to fathom or imagine how much passion Jesus had for what he was about to go through. The mature Jesus did not waste his early years, or we would have not been able to have salvation. We need to humbly prepare our passion for the Lord.